Hello, today is September 3rd, and I'm back, bitches.
She's not, also very sick.
Yeah, I'm not feeling great, but I felt like I needed to come back because I've been gone for like 3 weeks. So I've got some tissues here and some Lysol, and hopefully I don't infect anybody.
I modified the Geiger counter there to determine how sick it is, and she's so sick the needle's making an audible sound as it pegs against the side of the glass.
I'm not making enough sound in the mics, though, so I might be a little bit lower. It's not great. Not great.
I know so many great tasteless jokes about how sick are you, but they wouldn't be appropriate. We'd get demonetized. Instead, let's talk about the FCC and a Jeep pie, as is tradition to start with. Now, this one's not directly about a Jeep pie, but the best FCC / a Jeep pie stories are the ones where they're getting busted for the crap that they pull. And today, you might want to check the thermostat in hell, because I totally agree with Miss Pocahontas Elizabeth Warren.
Oh no.
There it is.
The FCC is not happy that Warren called them out over broadband and net neutrality. So what she said was, hey, ISPs are running for... Like, she literally said a Jeep Pie, you know, is the ISP-appointed person, and he is definitely running point for those industries and screwing over the American consumer.
She called out Verizon specifically.
She dabbed on him.
You're not supposed to do that. That's not supposed to be common knowledge.
So, and of course, the FCC responded and said, woo, it's campaign season, whatever, we don't care.
Not untrue.
Yeah, also not untrue.
But I think she probably would have done this anyway. Now, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. And again, hate the woman. So, I do think this is, she's not wrong, and she probably would have done this anyway. I'm not saying it's not politically motivated.
The more I learn about people in government in general, the more I'm surprised that, like, we're probably witnessing the great filter here.
I don't know. Google. Now, Google has had some problems. And you might be thinking, well, yeah, because the adpocalypse and the discovery thing and the algorithm. No, not those problems.
Different problems.
They don't consider those problems. Those are working as expected. The problem is with children and the things that children see on YouTube, and people figuring out that children are seeing those things on YouTube.
Google to pay more than $150 million in a YouTube privacy case. This is to settle things with the FTC. So the FTC's like, wait a minute, kids are using YouTube. And Google's like, nah, not so much.
How many kids do you think were affected by this?
None. Like, well, I mean...
But, no. How many saw things that they shouldn't have seen?
Oh, every child that is on the internet.
Yeah, has ever
Would
been
you
on
say
the internet?
Maybe like $150 million?
Yeah.
So a dollar per...
Seems like...
Seems low.
Yeah.
So this is another one of those things where government agency gives them a slap on the wrist, pockets the money, and how does the consumer benefit from this?
They get a letter from the FTC that's like, watch your kids online better. And it's like, wait,
That should be the answer.
Google did actually roll out some really interesting CAPTCHA alternatives that was like, prove that you're an adult. What is the 3 times 8? And just crazy stuff like that.
That's not even like proving you're an adult. It should be like obscure pop culture facts from a certain decade.
Well, they could Google that. When are people going to... They could also Google the math question.
The math one would be easier.
But when are people going to complain about those CAPTCHAs? Because they're like culturally insensitive. Because, you know, neighborhoods and areas which are generally bad at math will be unduly affected.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't just
or
math.
Or people like
it was,
me who don't watch movies, you know.
It was other random questions. Like, one of the captions was Mr. Gorbachev, comma, and then there were 4 blanks and you had to put in the correct number. And I didn't know that one.
Really?
Yeah.
But you grew up during that time. What is it, Krista?
Bring down that wall?
Ah, look at that. She wasn't even alive.
I know. I'm the best.
Oh, we talked about the Indian space program last week, and then, you know, in previous weeks we talked about the Hayabusa, which is on that asteroid dropping bombs on it and drilling it out,
doing all kinds of bomb science
for 3 weeks, and like just everything went to hell.
Yeah, the space agencies are really picking up steam, and not the American space agencies. Of course, we got our private sector that's doing a lot, but you got to wonder, do we have space supremacy right now? We can argue that we don't. And Donald Trump hates that.
CNN Politics says that Trump has launched Space Command. And there's a lot of dribble here, but my favorite quote was this is a whole different ball game. And they're also talking about kamikaze satellites, because that means the satellites are going to drop munitions on things.
Well, didn't they say there's like not even a place where like they've determined where the headquarters is going to be? Like, there's literally like no details.
Space Command.
Yeah, they just came up with a cool name.
Well, Space Command, I assume, is going to be in the Pentagon. So Space Command is just like the literal, you know, command structure that's under the CENTCOM.
Wait, wasn't the Pentagon originally like each of the five sides is a thing? Is it going to have to be a hexagon now?
That'd be expensive, wouldn't it?
We need to reconstruct the entire thing.
Maybe we build vertically, and then the top facing side is space. Oh. And then we'll have a subterranean command that'll be...
That battles the ant people.
Now, it's not just Space Command. This is going to be the command structure, but eventually we're going to get Space Force, which is going to be the Space Marines.
Somebody's watched a little bit too much of that that movie where like you had to go fight the insectoid race.
Starship Troopers.
Yeah, that's just...
Listen, if we could get a planet of snake and or spider people to unite the world, I think that would be great for us. It would bring us together. It would be wonderful. So we had another mass shooting this weekend. We don't talk about it much because what is there to talk about? You know, you're not going to change people's minds one way or the other.
America wouldn't be America without the mass shootings.
So there's a lot of questions about what are we going to do about it? A lot of solutions being thrown around. Oddly enough, not a lot of them focused on mental health, which seems to be a huge problem even outside of the mass shooting thing. But the Trump administration does have a plan. I guess you could call it a plan.
It's something.
Gizmodo said, like, the Gizmodo headline is, "The plan to use Fitbit data to stop mass shootings is one of the scariest proposals yet." And, like, whatever insanity you're imagining doesn't go far enough for the level of insanity in this
article. It's not even just Fitbit data.
I honestly think this is fake news. This cannot be real.
Well, I think it's real.
Here's the strangest thing about it. So you're wondering, like, how exactly does that work? And the biggest question, the one that popped into my mind when I started reading this, was how do they get you to wear the Fitbit? You know, is it going to be just like strapped onto you in a way it's like a...
Or by the Alexa or whatever things that they mentioned.
Well, or, you know, it'd be like the ankle bracelet you wear when you're on parole or whatever, when you're on house arrest. Because people aren't going to do this voluntarily. But then you read on, no, it will be voluntary. It's not... They're not even going to be able to take your Fitbit data unless you opt into the program. Which, of course, mass shooters would do.
What? I'm pretty sure that they would just go live in a cabin in the woods with a typewriter.
Yeah, I don't think... If you're together enough to care to wear a Fitbit and to opt into the program and to register online and blah, 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 is mass shooting really in your future? So the idea here is... They are basically taking all the data that's coming back from these health... Krista, please.
I'm sorry.
They're taking all that information that's coming back from these devices, and somehow, through artificial intelligence, that's like the question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark part of the algorithm, I guess, they're going to figure out what metrics precede a mass shooting.
Is the underpants gnome... meme dead, because that seems like a substitute for AI. It's like something, 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 profit.
Yeah.
And AI.
But of course, is it possible that that level of telemetry could lead to other things other than mass shootings?
Oh, yeah.
And when that happens, what are you going to be swatted? What are they going to do?
It's going to be
they do a wellness check and that's it.
They do a wellness check and just go ahead and take your guns.
Red flag, yeah.
Or just shoot you in the head.
Those will work well together.
It's like, you got a speeding ticket. Let's take your guns.
We've been talking about, who was it last week that got ransomware? Was that Texas? No, that was the week before.
Oh, yeah. But there was somebody else last week.
Or something, right?
Yeah.
Also, I thought it was all like Georgia and Louisiana.
That was before your hiatus. We're working on old data, Krista.
We did have somebody that wrote in to clarify what happened in Texas, and it wasn't like every computer of like every organization, but a lot of little different independent organizations were all hit because they apparently like share IT staff or something for a commodity.
But the point I'm trying to get to is last time we talked about if you are in some sleepy little town and you're part of the IT of the government, are you worried about this stuff? Because it doesn't seem like anyone is. Or maybe you are worried and you're telling people and it's just the bureaucracy moves so slowly or they don't care or whatever.
They probably just don't care. But, or like, oh, it's next year's budget problem.
Yeah, but in some cases, people are scared.
According to Reuters, U.S. officials fear a ransomware attack against the 2020 election. So this goes on to talk about, like, not just, like, the voting infrastructure, but also just the stuff necessary to run the bureaucracy of an election could totally be ransomware.
Maybe we'll get the thing that'll save us is that current ransomware is not compatible with Windows XP. So they won't be able to get the voting machines.
I have a feeling it's not gonna, like, if it's coordinated by, like, a state, like an enemy nation state, not going to stop them.
Yeah, it does seem like that would. And it's something that, even in the case where you pay the ransom, you can't fix it in you know, less than like 24, 48 hours. So are you going to do a do-over of Election Day?
We could have a month-long election.
Is that a national holiday?
That would be amazing.
How does that work?
It's like we just shut down for a month. It's like, oh, it's election month.
A month of voting. And we'd still have like 30% turnout.
Yeah.
I'm in a glass house there, though. Cyber attacks. Now, we've got the Space Command, but another thing that our government recently initiated was the Cyber Command. We have cyber warfare, officially, and we use it. And we don't talk much, or they don't talk much about using it. I won't let myself in with the federal government. And it's probably going on more than we think, but every once in a while, they do brag about it.
The U.S. cyber attack has hurt Iran's ability to target oil tankers, officials say. So this was, apparently Iran maintained a database of all the different oil tankers that would be easy targets. And I guess U.S. Cyber Command just took out the database. They took out all the computers and the facility that was being used to target the oil tankers.
Now they claim that this is sort of like proving a negative, though.
Yeah.
It's like, they would have definitely gotten these tankers if it weren't for us. Well, would they? Did they actually plan to? We don't know. But this is supposedly in response to Iran shooting down that drone.
There was Iran also had like a launch pad explosion. I don't think we had a story for this, but this is related to, or not related, but like Iran had a launch pad explosion, and Trump tweeted that like we didn't have anything to do with that. Sorry for your loss. Something exploded on the launch pad for some rocket somewhere.
But then there was also, I don't know if it's the same story, but there was some kind of missile attack that he claimed responsibility for.
Yeah.
And then they tweeted a picture, and I was like, no, everything's still working. Look.
Hmm.
So, who can you trust? I don't trust the other side.
What's happening?
And I certainly don't trust the media that's reporting all that.
Including ourselves.
Now, when we talk about a Jeep Pie, we talk about the revolving door. And it may seem kind of extreme the way that he worked at Verizon, and then became head of the FCC, and did everything that Verizon asked him to do. But is it really extreme? How often does this happen? Well, more than you would think.
Former hotel exec has been elected to Congress and decides the first order of business is to destroy Airbnb. He sent a memo around to other Congress critters that was basically along the lines of, hey, are people in your district participating in illegal hoteling? Which is code for Airbnb.
This guy's from Hawaii, which I imagine has a huge hotel scene.
Yeah.
So he's been in Congress before.
Yeah.
And
different district.
Yeah, couldn't get reelected. And then went, I think, like a decade. Eventually, he got in the hotel business and became like a huge hotel lobbyist. And I suspect that maybe some big hotel money went behind his reelection campaign.
Listen, we're going to shut down Airbnb because they're eating into our profits. If you own property, you should not be allowed to use your property the way that you see fit.
I bet Hawaiian Airbnbs are top dollar.
Yeah.
I bet they're nice, a lot of them too.
Yeah.
As long as you can get properly insured and it's like up to building code, I don't see the problem.
Yeah, you're not in the hotel business. Oh, the TSA and Homeland Security.
The happiest place on earth.
Krista, what was your TSA experience during? Oh, you didn't... didn't go international, but you still got TSA.
Well, yeah, right? Oh, yeah, you absolutely get TSA no matter what airport you're in. We had to deal with TSA several times. Again, happiest place on earth. Everyone, you know, smiling in the line and happy to comply. Definitely not angry because, you know, the lines are super long and you have to go to the bathroom and you can't get out of line because then you have to get back at the very end of the line and you'll miss your flight and it's like a whole thing. And
just piss your pants, right?
Yeah, I did, just to show them.
Well, you're lucky that you weren't trying to get into the country as a non-American because...
Oh, no, it applies to Americans, too.
Yeah.
When it comes to all of the things that they look at, they've added a new one, and this one is really, really questionable.
U.S. border officials are increasingly denying entry to travelers over others' social media. So they're just arbitrarily searching electronic devices at the border, and it's like, oh, look, your phone downloaded a picture from one of your social media contacts. Can you explain that? Oh, that explanation is unsatisfactory. You're not going to be allowed in.
That's terrifying. Because I'm friends with Ryan on social media. Who knows what he's posting?
I just put cat pictures. You know, huh. I mean, Toast and Crouton aren't terrorists.
What if they're? Well, you don't know that, and you don't know how their pictures will be construed.
You think they have a terror cell? They're just waiting.
They're on a list.
So there was this Chinese kid who was getting into Harvard, and so he was coming here from China, and he was stopped at the border, and they looked through his stuff, and they're like, this looks like some dissidents in your feed here. And it was like, well, yeah, that's not me. That's other people. And they said, oh, you know what? GTFO.
I thought he was Palestinian. It doesn't really matter.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
There were multiple. One of the students that couldn't get in only needed he was 2 years in, or two or three years into his degree.
Yeah, he was almost done with school.
And they're just like, nope, so he can't finish his degree, which is really crappy.
Now, I suppose... we don't know exactly what those posts were. I mean...
I wonder almost, were they just memes?
If he was friends on Facebook with, ISIS for life...
This seems a little too close to thought crime for my taste.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It doesn't prove anything. Although, they're not accusing anyone of a crime. They're simply not granting them a privilege, I suppose, is a way to look at it. But, in any case... how long before this is used by police when they are questioning you for a crime?
Immediately.
Yeah, it's probably already happening. We just don't know about it.
It looks like you're using an ad blocker.
Oh, no.
You're right. We are. So, Huawei. We are terrified of Huawei. We're terrified of them getting into the infrastructure, controlling things. Why? Because China. Because China and their tentacles can control these companies.
China, but number one.
We got an amazing story about WeChat later.
What if those red tentacles could get into one of our companies? How terrifying would that be?
It looks like you're using an ad blocker.
U.S. officials reportedly trying to block an 8,000-mile Google and Facebook-backed undersea cable that is going to China. So there's the Great Firewall of China. These companies want to do business in China. What better way to get around the Great Firewall of China than to have a Chinese-controlled, direct-attached network connection for both Google and Facebook? This government worry here seems a little disingenuous because do we really think that Google and Facebook are not going to take appropriate precautions that are probably far and away more advanced than anything the DOD could come up with?
Well, there was that dragonfly thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know. That's whoever the highest
look,
bidder is.
If they want to behave unethically, that's fine. But I don't think that this undersea cable is going to somehow let them...
But you're leaving out a very important part here.
Yeah.
We would never run a cable to mainland China. Which just wouldn't happen. This is going to Hong Kong.
Mm.
But... the concern here is it's like, well, how close is Hong Kong to being annexed by mainland China? I mean, it's more and more looking like that's what's going to happen. And, you know, can we trust? Because if you look at what's going on in Hong Kong, it seems like the leaders are puppets for sure. Like,
does seem a little scary.
They're not allowed to do anything that mainland says no to. So, because apparently they were like, hey, Xi, we're thinking about, you know, maybe negotiating with these protesters. And it was like, no, you're not.
Hmm.
You're not doing that. So, I don't know. Bad news if you're in Hong Kong, because this would have made your StarCraft game so much faster.
Well, and also less susceptible to Chinese interference for network connections, because there are definitely internet problems in Hong Kong right now because of the protests. Mm-hmm. Trying to get video and stuff like that out of the country. But there's another aspect of this too that is, it's really weird because these companies have gone through quote unquote proper channels to do this, and it seems like it's a little bit like the whole AMD China thing, because like AMD went through the State Department to offer their microprocessor intellectual property to Chinese companies, which was blessed by the State Department. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, things get weird. This is not like this is a new thing. This has been in the works for years. And then all of a sudden now it's got a problem.
Yeah, because things just got real weird in Hong Kong. Yeah. That's pretty obvious. Oh, Amazon. Every week there's a new complaint about Amazon. And it seems like it's not so much that Amazon is trying to be evil. I mean, maybe they are a little bit, but they're just trying to make money, you know, and damn the consequences. But the problem
turns
is...
Turns out that kind of ends up being evil.
Well, that's the thing. They've gotten so big, and they've created this system where it's not Amazon selling you the product. That's this army of third parties. And it's getting to the point that they can't even police it.
That makes sense because, you know, this is from CNBC. It says, senators are asking Jeff Bezos to crack down on thousands of unsafe products on Amazon. Anecdote, have you ever ordered a USB charger from Amazon? Because about three out of the last five that I've ordered definitely are like house fire territory.
So, my dad was gonna, he was like, hey, order these hearing aid batteries for me from Amazon. And I just like did a little bit of reading and like, of course the Amazon reviews aren't going to help you, but if you read some other places, you don't want to buy batteries from Amazon ever, ever, because you will get dead batteries.
Yeah.
No.
And it doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, now, they did not go into any detail here about what these problematic products were exactly.
It's probably dozens of things. Like,
yeah,
just
they did
cheap
say it was
Chinese
a lot.
Crap. Like,
yeah, there, it's just poorly made. Like, I'm going to order like the cheapest cell phone charger that I can possibly get. You're going to burn down your house. Like the little tiny, like it looks like the first gen, like the little tiny cube USB, like the Apple chargers. It looks like a generic version of those. And I got one that just came apart in my hands as I went to I plugged it in and it wasn't working. And I was like, that's weird. And so, like, I was wiggling it to see if it was loose in the thing, and the whole thing just disintegrated in my hands, and there were just, like, raw, you know, 110-volt energized terminals right there. And it's like, I don't think this was checked by the FCC or CE or anybody.
I got a reading lamp at Ollie's, and it was, like, $5.
Oh, no.
But it's LED, so it has the rectifier brick. And there's so much whine that I can't. It distracts me from my reading. I can't use it.
We have a light like that in our house. And we never use it because it's so annoying.
Yeah, it's
that will definitely burn your house down if you leave it plugged in.
Yeah, and it's right where the cats like to play. So I was like, I'm just throwing this away. There's no point in this. Speaking of Amazon, there is another scandal that they're wrapped up in. We've talked a lot about this, but what we never really knew in the past was the scope of it. Like, how many police forces are in the ring? And now we have an idea.
So the Washington Post says that the doorbell camera firm Ring has partnered with 400 police forces extending surveillance concerns. So we talked about this a lot last week. You should check that out because there was a lot of good information here. The new information in this article is really the number of police forces, but also how the police force... It almost seems like Amazon is requesting the police force harass homeowners that are saying no or declining the request to share their Ring data.
And it's kind of like the license plate company we were talking about. I don't know if it was last week or the week before, where... when you buy in, you get access to all the existing stuff. So maybe the next county over, you're trying to find somebody and they could easily go over there. Well, you could look at their Ring data maybe. See if they got any facial recognition matches on their cameras for the guy you're looking for. So makes sense, right? It's a snowball. The more police forces that join, the better idea it sounds for your police force to join. Which is terrifying. We talk about ad blockers. They are super annoying, right? Now, a lot of people will take the position that it's like, well, that's the new business model, and if you don't like it, then just don't read it. But should the news work like that? I mean, they have every right to do it. But what happens if the news isn't independent and the government pays the news to make news. That sounds like a bad idea, right? Just right off the bat, I can see a lot of problems with that.
Laughing in England. Bernie Sanders thinks we may want to tax Silicon Valley to save journalism. His plan would bring back the FCC media ownership rules that limit a company's ability to own newspapers and TV stations in the same markets. So I think I'm okay with the ownership rules, but yeah. I don't know how this translates into tax exactly, because it was super nebulous.
And the ownership thing, like, I think any kind of media conglomeration is a bad idea.
Probably, yes.
And that's all we've got.
Yeah.
I mean, if you there's that great chart where it shows them all, like,
they're all connected, yeah.
Consolidating.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the video where there's like 90 people that are all saying the exact same thing with the same intonation and cadence.
No, this is just a
That's a side effect of what he's describing.
It's a chart of lines, and as they merge, getting down, and there's, you know, it ends up like six.
Yeah.
Starts out as 200 and goes down to six. So, well, I think we are in sort of a crisis period when it comes to the press. But is this a solution? I don't know. It seems like Bernie Sanders is getting Ron Paul'd anyway, so it ain't going to matter.
Ron Paul'd.
Remember that time that Amazon got a big juicy contract from the government, from the Pentagon, and Oracle was super pissed?
Well, now technically it's down to Microsoft and Amazon, and they haven't announced who's doing what yet.
Right. It'll definitely be Microsoft. Well, Oracle sued, and then it didn't get anywhere. So what did Oracle do?
Oracle files a new appeal over the Pentagon's $10 billion Jedi Cloud contract RFP process. This is actually the third or fourth action that has been taken. And one of the things they were upset about is somebody that used to work for Amazon went to work for the DOD and then went to work for Amazon after this was all announced. So a little bit of that revolving door. But they investigated twice and didn't find that the guy that changed jobs did anything wrong.
The government investigated.
Yeah, yeah.
The ones being sued.
Yeah.
No.
Hmm. Although, I can't, you know, it's like...
You just hate Oracle, though.
I really do.
You're like, really biased. I'll be honest, I barely skimmed this article, so I was like, Wendell will take over just to describe how much he hates Oracle.
It's just...
But they also pointed out that there's some kind of rule against awarding this to just one company. When it's $10 billion,
yeah,
you're supposed to spread it around a little bit, you know, to, like, help the economy.
Amazon and Microsoft.
Mm. You know.
We'll see.
The two little guys in the tech sector.
We talk a lot about electric cars, and sometimes it's good news, sometimes it's bad news, sometimes buildings catch on fire. But... you can't argue. One thing I'll say, I don't like electric cars, but the one thing that you can't take away from them, they have amazing performance. They got a low center of gravity, the handling is good, they're super, super fast. You know, what's not to love about that? So it kind of makes a lot of sense, I think, for this to happen.
Electrek is talking about the Tesla Model 3 has gotten the nod from police over cost and performance. Bye-bye Dodge Charger. So this is a municipality in Indiana somewhere. And they're going to adopt these, and they figure that by the end of the service lifetime, the thing will have paid for itself, which will help let them hire more police.
They say, like, usually those cars last about 6 years before they replace them.
Yeah.
And they expect $6,000 a year in savings. And I don't know what a police charger costs. That's definitely a V8 charger, right? So these are, what, $46,000 for the nicer Model 3? The range, extended range edition.
They mentioned what model it was, but I can't remember.
But they're paying fleet prices?
Probably, yeah. But you got to do the conversion. You got to make it, you know, so you can stick somebody in the back and make them arrestable and can't get out and that kind of thing.
So if you run it for 5 years, you plan to save $36,000. Still probably a pretty good deal.
Right? Yeah.
They also said they plan to save money on maintenance. I don't know how true that is. Like, do we have enough data on Model 3s to know that they're...
I don't think we do. I would question that the battery pack would really last that long under continuous fleet use. But
now they won't be doing long trips, but they'll probably be charging it at least once a day or once every 2 days, right?
Because
you're going to drive it, you're going to park it at the charger, and then the next guy's going to come on shift and take over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be good, though. That'll be testing, right? We'll get some numbers.
Yay, data.
There's a new car to be afraid of. When you're driving and you're like, is that a police car?
I wish they just wouldn't sell civilian copies of whatever the cops drive.
Yes, because sometimes you just don't know, and it's, you like slow down a little bit, and it's like, oh, it's just an old person driving.
Or
the
the bike and or ski racks.
Yeah,
because you're like, is that a? I can't tell.
Yeah,
is that a light rack?
I'm gonna slow down just in case.
Oh, the Motion Picture Association of America. Now, we haven't heard that much from them. I think the streaming game has kind of silenced piracy to the point that they don't have a lot to complain about.
Oh, they could complain.
They complain, but it just doesn't get in the news as much. And they are, you know, secretly fighting. And I think the last big thing was with music streaming. They were trying to change the way the payments got made. And stuff like that.
I think that was not in favor of the artist, though.
No, why would it
well,
be?
Was any of this ever? But there was one guy. So there was this big leak of data that TechDirt got a hold of. And they went through it, and there was some, like, you know, misdemeanor-style stuff in it, but they never published it. But what they found out was there was this one guy who spearheaded literally everything. He was, like, super lawyer. He was the most aggressive. He was like the Ajit Pai of the motion picture world. And some very interesting news has come out about him.
The Tech Nerd headline is, top MPAA lawyer, mastermind behind its plan to attack the internet, has been arrested on blackmail and sexual assault charges. And so, like, you immediately think, oh, this is probably one of those, like, he said, she said kind of things.
No, this
and
is pretty
blah,
cut
blah.
And dry.
Yeah, no, like, it's literally, like, he went on the internet and found some, like, it was a sugar daddy type situation. And
that
she
was a website, sugardaddymeat.com.
She wanted out, and he was like, no. And
he was like, I'll tell everybody what you're doing and blah, blah, blah. And he, so, like, forced her to, like,
yeah,
go meet him
a
couple
times
a week.
He was going to go to the hospital.
So bad. And so, like, she did it a few more times, and then she was still like, no. And so she looped the police in because it got that bad. And, you know, sure enough, he was doing the tantrum thing, I guess, and the police were there. So they arrested him, and now it's a pretty cut and dry case, and the MPAA fired him and blah, blah, blah.
Of course I could never put myself in this guy's mindset. You know what I mean? This is one of the lowest forms of life on the planet. But can you imagine? I mean, okay, let's say your mind is clouded with lust, right? And you're making bad decisions. And we've all been there. But afterwards, when you're standing on the balcony of your million-dollar home, from the profits from attacking the people, and you're smoking a cigarette, are you thinking to yourself, yeah, I really won that encounter. I forced a young girl to have sex with me for money when she didn't want to because I'm so smart. That's got to be a psychopath, right? Like, there's no...
They probably don't even register it as, like, coercion. They're just like, oh, well, she said yes after I badgered her for 20 minutes. Like, yeah.
Yeah, there's not a shred of empathy or... seeing other humans as
humans,
you know,
yeah.
Understanding why people might want to, like, rip their music collection from one format to another.
Also, he's going to go in to prison as a sex offender.
Oh yeah,
and he is going to get stabbed. So we can be happy about that.
Yikes!
That's a whole other conversation because I don't like prison has become part of our culture to the extent that it's like that's not good.
Oh no, it's terrifying. Yeah, you don't want to go there.
Ryan watches a lot of prison documentaries, and then he relays that information to me and Wendell, and it's like,
I
didn't want to know that. Like,
it really is crazy. Like, American prisons are so messed up. I mean, it's like the whole America-China thing is, like, really scary. Like, the whole border thing, and it's like, wow, this thing that we're doing at the border sounds a lot like what China does.
Yeah, are we the baddies?
But we've no camera crew has ever gone into a Chinese prison.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, I'm sure it gets worse. Also, Mexican prisons. I've read a couple books by guys that went to Mexican prisons.
But see, that's again, like, I don't want to derail the news here, but again, that's a very interesting rabbit hole to me because it suggests that the people running the Chinese prison know on some level it's wrong and we mustn't document it. Whereas the American prisons allowing the camera crew in don't see anything wrong with what's happening.
Or maybe they do and they're just, like, trying to get eyes on it. I don't know.
Well, see, the thing about the American prisons is they staff them with some real low-caliber people. So it's, like...
They're not aware of what they're doing is probably terrible.
It's very entry-level, you know, like, low-skill.
Or people who are so desperate for cash
or
they can't really speak up.
I failed the psych eval to be a cop. Like, a lot of that. When they had the shale oil revolution, like Colorado and Montana, where they have a bunch of prisons because, you know, it's just like a bunch of empty land, they lost like 60% of their workforce. Because it was like, oh, I can just go be an oil guy because it's low skill. I don't have to be here. So, yeah, it's designed, you know, it's the private prison.
Yeah.
It's designed to just perpetuate.
Yeah.
Whereas China probably wants to correct, but they want to correct your freedom
and
ideas.
And if it can't be corrected, we'll harvest your organs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of piracy, which is what we were talking about before all that.
Although here, you just get shanked, and then they harvest your organs.
Yeah. Well, but then they're lacerated, so...
Some of them, not all of them.
Have you ever seen a prison stabbing? The average number of, because
it's the
knives are not super useful, you know, like they don't cut very well. So it's quantity over quality.
Oh.
So you'll get stabbed like 40, 50 times.
Yeah. The blunt object.
As I was saying, piracy. So piracy is down, but the few remaining pirate operations have seen what's going on with streaming, and they said, wow, that's a really good business model. Imagine if you didn't have to pay any of the licensing fees.
Netflix-like pirate sites offered more video than the real Netflix, the feds say. And so there have been some indictments. Pirate services used torrents and Usenet to build a huge video catalog.
What was the name of one of them? It was like Netflix.
Jetflix.
So I'm surprised that, because not every country on Earth has a copyright system that works like this. I'm surprised that one of these companies hasn't located there.
Possible title for this episode of the news, Jetflix and Steel. Scooters. We've talked a lot about scooters. Electrified, like, Razor-style scooters, which people weren't able to operate, and they were just jumping in front of buses left and right. There were the Lime scooters, which, for whatever reason, people decided to throw in the river. There were the Lime scooters that got hacked. It's been a rough road for e-scooters. And now we've learned of one more reason that they might be bad for us.
CNBC says that Miami has ordered the scooters removed from the streets before Hurricane Dorian turns them into projectiles.
By the time this airs, Hurricane Dorian should have hit Florida.
Well, now they're saying it might not be Florida.
Oh.
Puerto Rico?
No, somewhere else.
They're thinking it might be category 4 when it hits.
Or Puerto Rico.
Five
now?
Yeah,
wow. Friday, it was 4.
5, but not hitting the states. But who knows? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't really predict it. So, we'll see. They also do tend to overstate. Because what was the name of the last one? Like, they really hyped it, and it wasn't that big a deal.
I think the last big one was Irma. Irma was pretty bad.
Maybe that's just what the hurricanes want us to believe.
Listen, if the news hypes everybody into a frenzy, it's going to clean out the grocery stores. It's going to be great for the economy. It's a win-win.
Did you see it wasn't really a meme, I guess. It was just a picture of, like, a grocery store somewhere in Florida. And, like, all the water was gone except for that really expensive, like...
Foss.
Yeah, that was the only... No one would buy that, even in, like, conditions.
It's, like, $4
yeah.
per bottle. And you can get an entire case of delicious Nestle for $4.
But not in that cool bottle.
I would be devastated if we had hurricane conditions and I couldn't get Nestle. Because I don't stockpile enough of it. I should.
You should always have an emergency stockpile. 3 days worth of water for everyone in the household.
Also, my cats have really stepped up their water drinking now that they're getting bigger. They're going through like a bottle every 2 days, if not every day.
Wow. Yeah.
You give them Nestle water.
Oh, yeah.
Rue gets tap water.
Well, Nestle water is the only thing that's consumed in my home as far as liquids. So we talked about Hong Kong and China and the problems that are going on there. Apparently, quite a bit of escalation this weekend. So this is maybe one of the least surprising headlines that we've ever seen, I believe.
China intercepts WeChat texts from U.S. and abroad, researcher says. So this is a guy who's been in jail for being a dissident and had to go to a political re-education camp. That's a little scary. And so he's been living here and communicating with people via WeChat back in China, but there are people in China that say that they just don't even see his posts.
Yeah. Well, because he said he was expecting feedback on one and never heard anything.
And apparently, there's a bit of, you know, text recognition, where it's, if you mention Tiananmen, for example, of course, it just, it's black hole. But he also noticed, even just family stuff, if he was copying more than three people, they all went into the memory hole. Didn't even matter. And there was another guy who wasn't known as a dissident, but he lived here and actually went back to China a lot. And he learned that his stuff was getting erased. And he was like, should I not go back now? How worried should I be about this?
I would say very worried, and I would probably not go back. But
his family's there. So
meet up at the border.
Not for long if he acts up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the border.
Yeah, just, you know, take a short family drive.
A short drive across mainland China.
Just, yeah, just like a short drive across mainland U.S. Easy. I want to drive from Florida. I want to see the Gulf, and then I want to go up and see Yellowstone in the same day. Is that possible?
Facial recognition. Every week, there's some who are for it and some who are against it, and now we find out where Sweden stands.
Sweden is banning facial recognition technology in schools. That's probably a good thing.
Good job, Sweden.
We've talked about this before, but not only is it, you know, children's rights and all that, but children's faces change so rapidly.
Yeah, it's not even useful.
Now, they did, the one school that was using it in the U.S., they defended it by saying, oh, God.
Oh, no.
I'm starting to feel it. They defended it by saying that, no, that's for, like, kidnappers, you know? If you're on some kind of list, then, and you show up at our doors, we want to know about it, so you can't nab one of the kids. But how much freedom are we sacrificing for?
Well, shouldn't there be security protocols for that in place already? Like,
well, I don't think you can even get into a school under normal circumstances, but you got people going in and out all the time, and, you know, the door might get not completely closed and whatever.
I don't know, like, even just, like, checking kids in and out of Sunday school, we have, like, a really strict security procedure. I'd imagine schools would be even more so.
The answer is to RFID chip all the kids, right?
Yeah, clearly. That's where we need to go. It's not enough just to, you know, monitor everything, I guess. But
Australia. Now, normally when we talk about Australia in terms of technology, it's some horrible Orwellian stuff that their government's doing, and it's just the darkest timeline. You know, they're being experimented on to see what democratic people can tolerate as far as that. But this one is not that. However, it is the Australian government doing something very invasive.
Australian man, who says he invented Bitcoin, has been ordered to hand over up to $5 billion worth of Bitcoin. U.S. court has ordered Craig Wright to share cryptocurrency haul with the estate of American programmer David Kleinman. So, this story is, like, super convoluted.
Look at this guy's face. He's like, you what, mate?
That is the look of,
yeah.
You want $5 billion? Could you say that again?
So, it's not even really clear if he actually is a Bitcoin inventor, but there's some paperwork that looks like he forged David Kleinman's signature on stuff. And they, you know, it's like maybe they had a wallet together, and then he took all of the wallet. I don't know.
Well, but what is clear is that he was on the ground floor of Bitcoin. And he was mining back when you could mine a lot of Bitcoin. Now, we don't know how much he has exactly, but it's estimated that he has about $10 billion worth. So, but it gets even more complicated because apparently he created some kind of distributed trust with those Bitcoin wallets. And the keys were scattered among a bunch of different people. It's real, like, you know, Mission Impossible style things. And he says that he can't even get to it to give it to them.
Hmm.
So, might be making that up.
Could totally be making that up. But, you know.
Although, if you got 10 and you give away 5, is your life really affected?
Well, if you've got a 128-bit key and, you know, 4 people have 32 bits, then, and you only can recover 3 of those, you'd
no,
only have
no,
to...
No, it was, I think it was 20 people.
Okay. Well, I don't know how big the key is off the top of my head, but 20 people, if you can get like half of it, that would be a lot easier to search for the key space.
We'll see. We'll follow that story. Now, another thing that Australia plans to do, and I remember when the big Australian shooting happened, they responded very heavy-handed. They turned off a lot of things. They blocked a lot of things. And a lot of people said, you're going too far, which some people might also say about this.
Australia plans to block domains that host terrorist material during crisis situations. I tried to understand how this could possibly be anything useful, but I don't think it is.
Can this literally be, like, anything?
Well,
with user-generated content? Like,
what are they going to do? Is this going to be, like, you know, the terrorists are streaming the death of the hostages to, like, Ustream, and it's like, we got to stop people from tuning into that? And it's like, well, you just tell Ustream, they'll just turn it off.
But, you know, they... And it wasn't Australia, right? It was New Zealand.
Yeah, it was New Zealand. I was thinking that, but I was like, I won't say anything. I'll just let
but
it finish.
But during that, he was done streaming it before anybody really had a chance to react.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't... This seems silly. This is going to be... This almost seems like it is designed to be blatantly misused, because during a, like, terrorist situation, you simply cannot respond fast enough for anything like this to make a difference.
Or is it, like, election season in Australia? Is this, like, pandering on some level?
I don't know, but I think it's more about, you know, having an excuse to just turn things off.
Yeah.
Because all those little banana republics are constantly doing that, and it seems to work really well to quell dissent. So, again, it's just all a big experiment. See what they'll tolerate. Remember when Macron, France's leader, said, hey, we want our piece of all the big tech companies. The EU's getting all their pieces. We're going to take some for ourselves. And Donald Trump stepped in and was like, hey, when you mess with Facebook and Google, you're not just messing with Facebook and Google. You're messing with the US of A, sir, and I won't have it. Apparently, they had some talks.
Marconi says France and the U.S. Have reached a digital tax deal, according to Reuters. And I would think that this Reuters article would have more specifics and details about what exactly kind of a deal they reached.
It's not for you to know.
Yeah.
What if I just, like, went golfing or something?
Yeah, I mean, just... That's so frustrating, because it's just... Why? Why would you even publish this story? There's nothing here.
But you assume that if it is a tax deal, then it's not zero.
Yeah.
There's going to be some kind of new tech tax that France is going to roll out. So, I'm sure we'll find out more about it. But it's coming. I included this story, and it's not really tech related, but it's just something that, you know, you got to point out, because so many tech stories, I mean, we already did the one, YouTube, for example, was 250 million?
Yeah.
It's
the slap on the wrist.
The amount of money that you make by violating these laws and rules, and in this case, killing people, and the fine you get, the difference is just staggering.
Johnson & Johnson ordered to pay $572 million in landmark opioid trial. That doesn't seem like enough, because didn't they make tens of billions of dollars?
And this was over like nearly a decade, right? So, again, I'll ask, how many individuals do you think were affected by the opioid crisis?
Well, probably more than 10 million, so that means they...
No, that's people who are addicted to opioids.
What about the families?
Affected.
Employers,
The entire population.
Does anyone not know someone who's on opioids?
I'm sure some people... I mean, I haven't been... there's probably too many degrees of separation between me and the people I know that I couldn't say I was affected. So let's say 100 million, right? So we got $572... How many OxyContin would that buy?
0.03. That's crazy.
It's disgusting. This is blaming the gun, but when we looked more into it, you know, they did a lot of questionable stuff to like promote these and pay the doctors.
Wouldn't a better solution to this, instead of like taking any money from Johnson & Johnson, to just say, you must fund and set up a nationwide, like, de-addiction clinic.
It's funny that you mentioned that. Of course, you know, we're getting paywalled here. But...
this was all based in Oklahoma.
What they were seeking, I think, was something like $15 billion put toward a U.S. rehabilitation...
That's about how much it would take.
Yeah, exactly. And they were like, hey, we think it did this much damage, and we're going to take this money, and we're going to do this with it, and no... we're going to settle.
$500 million would fund about 100 clinics for about 3 years nationwide.
That wouldn't even clean the bathrooms.
Yeah, that's like two things per state. So that doesn't really help people that are addicted right now.
Well, let's think about the kids. Once they get addicted.
a lot of them were born addicted. They talked about that, too, that they advertised toward mothers saying, oh, it's safe.
Yeah.
Even though and their children are born addicted.
Yeah, they did a lot of bad things. There is the, if you want to look up the Purdue Pharmaceutical, I think they finally got them taken off of YouTube, but you can find them on like LiveLeak and stuff. The Purdue Pharmaceutical opioid advertising videos.
Those are amazing. You definitely need to look those up.
See, it's astonishing because they are just blatantly saying all the opposite of all the truths about opioids. It's like, some people believe this is addictive. That's simply untrue.
Only if you take it. So, you're fine.
Now, switching to social media, this headline
is wrong.
It seems embarrassing. But when you dig down into it, this points out one of the biggest and probably least known problems we have in terms of security in the world. Because this was not his fault.
Twitter CEO and co-founder Jack Dorsey has his account hacked, according to the BBC News. What actually happened was Twitter acquired a cloud reposting thing. So, like, there's this service where you could post to cloud, like, social media. It was called Cloud something. And his mobile phone number was hooked up there so that he could create a tweet as an SMS message. Well, of course, his phone number's changed. And so the hackers figured out what his old phone number was, got it, and then used that old service to send to tweet via SMS. And it legit, like, they legit had that number.
Was it his old phone? I thought he got SIM-jacked.
Yeah, I don't think it said SIM-jacked in the article.
Pretty sure he was SIM-jacked.
Okay.
And they also said an unnamed telephone service. Why wouldn't you name them? Why wouldn't they be shamed for that?
They have some sort of deal with them, probably.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe they're still looking into it and they don't want to tip off, you know, like the employee that's getting...
That's
some
crazy.
Kind of sting.
Well, maybe he was SimJack. The first version I read was not the BBC version.
So, yeah. But this is where, if you don't know what SimJacking is, you can just go and pay off somebody at the phone company to set up your SIM to be that person's phone number. And then nobody knows the difference. It's just so if they have two-factor or whatever coming through that, you can do it.
You should do two-factor through an app, not through SMS. SMS is not secure.
Well, Jack didn't know that.
Even if you're in physical proximity of somebody, you can still... It's bad. It's very bad. If you have the right equipment.
Now, this is a hilarious study. Of course, it's, you know, it's written as a study, so it's dense and hard to really glean the important parts. You need a nice write-up
TLDR.
From, you know, one of, like TechCrunch or somebody needs to do it. But what it gets down to is how... social media and social media addiction is self-fulfilling prophecy.
Social media stress can lead to social media addiction. So I don't know. I didn't get a good feel for the context of social media stress. If they meant like general social anxiety, definitely yes, ding, ding, ding. Or just like
the stress of looking at social media?
Well, they gave an example. Okay.
Yeah.
So for example, you're looking at Facebook, right? And
right.
You're scrolling through your feed, and you're seeing how good everybody else's
yeah.
life is. And so you're like, oh, this is stressful because I'm such a loser.
Yeah.
So you go to Facebook chat, or maybe you go to Twitter or whatever, and you start looking at that, and you're like, oh, this will make me feel better. And then you get the same stress from that. And so then you switch to some other service, or you go back to Facebook and do something else.
And eventually you end up on 4chan and feel great about yourself.
Or you decide that, you know, you hate women.
One or the other. It's just a 50-50.
But they studied a variety of people using Facebook. It wasn't in the U.S. It was some other country. And how they used it and stuff like that, you know, interviewed them. And they kind of figured out that it all causes stress. But the way that people deal with stress can often be more social media.
It really... it argues for separation of like social media and like whatever it is for like finding interesting content. Like share interesting things and stuff that's happening on the internet with your friends, but like the vapid self-indulgent, like whatever the hell it is, like that shouldn't be on there. That should be somewhere because
well,
that it's a black hole of time.
I think that's kind of what Instagram was sort of figuring out
yeah.
is the votes and the like button.
Yeah.
That's kind of the the addictive property of it.
Yeah.
And that's what, and plus that's what causes stress, because now you can see what people have that you don't.
Yeah.
And it's literally quantified.
Yeah. Likes, which mean literally nothing, but.
Oh, they mean everything. What about that view counter, Krista? We need more.
Subscribe now. Tell your friends.
Check out the Level 1 store or our Patreon at patreon.com/level1.
YouTube had a problem, they said, with extremist content. And they, you know, this was part of the big adpocalypse sweep. And they went through and they mopped it all up. And they got rid of a lot of the right-wing people. And then a little bit later, they claimed they were going to do it for the left-wing people. And animal cruelty and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they went, maybe, in some people's eyes, a little overboard. And now, maybe, they're walking it back.
YouTube CEO explains why it leaves up controversial or even offensive videos. Susan Wojcicki, I don't know if I got it, I butchered that real bad, I'm sorry.
Polish.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Addresses quote-unquote openness in her latest note.
Yeah, so they did reinstate some of the more right-wing channels last week. But interestingly enough, there was a whole big episode where I think they told InfoWars that they could relaunch, and InfoWars did a big thing, and they were like, you know, freedom is going to succeed, and blah, blah, blah. And then after they posted the first video, they were immediately banned.
That has to be automated,
oh,
though, right?
No.
Like, so
the algorithm is like,
yeah.
So some people are saying it's not enough. And then she talks about, you know, being an open platform means having some uncomfortable content. But, you know, people are still getting banned for some weird reasons. And with the whole discovery and monetization thing,
no battle bots.
It doesn't matter if people, if you, okay, you can upload videos. Yeah. You can exist. But no one's ever going to see them. You know? So is that not another kind of like shadow banning? So, who knows? Who knows where that will go? Facebook. Remember when we talked about a couple weeks ago, Facebook has made this bizarre decision in the face of like monopoly antitrust investigations that it wants to brand everything now as Facebook. Instagram from Facebook. WhatsApp from Facebook. And that's weird, right? Why would you do that?
We talked about that last week.
And it turns out probably the reason you would do that is because then you can get away with merging all the data together, as if they don't already. But
also makes it hard for a monopoly situation to break up the company, because it's like, where's the clear lines?
Mm.
But the Germans believed that that was against this new EU directive. And was it?
Facebook succeeds in blocking German FCO's privacy-minded order against combining user data. So Facebook is going to be allowed to combine user data, even though the German FCO is like, whoa, 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 what are you doing?
So if you don't have a Facebook account, but you've got an Instagram account, Facebook knows who you are. The like button, login with Facebook web will catch you, even though you don't have a Facebook account. You will be merged in. And they will know who you are.
And that was one of the things.
If you
I mean,
run, it will chase you.
I'm impressed that the German politicians are actually able to like put this together, because like our politicians are still like trying to shove a square peg in a round hole.
You know, it's even more impressive that despite the German politicians being able to put this together, Facebook has the political power to destroy it. So
I think they sent him like a fried goat. It's like a
pie. Not completely fried.
Oh yeah, wasn't it raw? I can't. That story was so strange.
Maybe he went with the just the goat's like boiled stomach, you know, since they're German.
It's like, look, I made blood sausage. Is this not amazing?
We send our regards. Don't trifle with us again.
We meant it as like, you know, a friendly international gesture, but instead it was interpreted like the horse's head in the bed from The Godfather.
An offer they can't refuse.
Yeah,
it's basically what, you know, big tech is, because your people want it. And imagine if you were the guy, you were the politician that said Germans don't get to use Facebook anymore. That is the end of your career.
You post the thing, like you go to Facebook.com, and it's like, Angela Merkel says that you don't get any Facebook. It's just like, what? And there's all those addicted people that are just, you know.
Well, that's a great lead-in, right? Now, I had never heard of this test before. Had you?
No.
This is an amazing test. Okay, so let me tell you just a little bit. Before we tell you the headline, let me tell you a little bit of how this test works. So it's a quote-unquote gambling test. But before the gambling test happens, they explain to you, they get, was it five decks of cards?
Yeah.
You get five decks of cards, and they explain to you that in order of severity, there's a risk factor for these cards. Now, some of them will give you really good short-term wins, but there's some nasty shit lurking in those decks. And they're like, listen, over the course of the game, this deck is going to screw you. Now, this deck on the other end, it's going to be a slow burn, but it's really safe. And so you determine how risky you want to get. And they found that people who make really bad decisions in life will pull a lot from the risk deck. And so they use that to determine, like, you know, certain personality things. And they decided to use that test on Facebook users.
So TechCrunch has the headline, "Research finds heavy Facebook users make impaired decisions just like drug addicts." So you're going through withdrawal. You're looking at these Facebook posts, and it's like, oh, man, Bob got a boat. I got to get a boat. Yeah, and you go through withdrawal, and then you start making terrible decisions. Because it's just like gambling. It's just like an addiction. Or you post stuff about the boat that you just bought, which might have been a terrible financial decision, but you're getting all kinds of comments and likes, and it's like, wow, you're really successful. And it's like, yeah, I am.
So they tied Facebook addiction to this lack of, you know, forward thinking, this, like, immediate gratification kind of mindset.
Yeah.
Where you would keep going for that risky deck. Even though somebody was chastising you and telling you, it's going to go bad if you keep going down this road. But it's like, hey, I just went down that road three times and it was good every time, so it's going to be good, right? You ever watch those videos of the marshmallow test they do with kids?
Oh, the one is like, how long can the kid wait for
delayed gratification? It's the same kind of thing. Yeah. They send them down there like, look, you're not allowed to have this marshmallow. And I'm going to go... But I'm going to go get three marshmallows. And when I come back, I'm going to eat one, you're going to eat two. But you can't touch this one. If you touch this one, this is the only one you get. And then they leave the room. And these kids, like, just agonize over the marshmallow. And some of them, like, just pick at it, you know, just take a little bit.
Yeah.
And this is that same kind of thing where the Facebook addict simply cannot put off gratification.
We do that with Rue.
I'm pretty sure that Walmart is designed that way.
Has Rue ever passed that test?
Yeah, that's like a training thing we do with her. We put a treat on the ground, we tell her to leave it. And, like, you could see that internal struggle of, like, I want that peanut butter treat. And she'll just look at you and look at it, and then she has to wait until you say, okay, go get it.
Toast is so bad about treats that I'll give him one first, and then I'll give, while he's distracted eating his, I'll give one to Crouton. And sometimes he gets so worked up, he just runs over and bites my hand.
Does he bite your hand out of malice, or is he just excited?
I don't know. It's not a hard bite, you know? It's like the playful bite. But just, I don't know. He wants it so bad.
I just can't focus. I had to teach Rue easy, because, like, sometimes if you give her a treat as a reward, like, she would get that worked up and then, like, kind of chomp your hand a little bit. And I had to be like, no, take it easy. So then she'll, like, slowly, like, lean her mouth forward and take it out of your hand.
But it's doubly hard because Crouton is kind of retarded when it comes to... He can't take the treat out of my fingers. Because he'll, like, just bite my fingers because he's stupid, you know?
Yeah.
Because they can't see directly under their nose. You don't think... Like, humans, we can, but the cats can't do that. And when it's on the ground, he takes his sweet time. And Toast is just all over him in the meantime trying to get it. So.
All right, what do we got for tomorrow?
Tomorrow's going to be business and security, I think.
This was a long section.
Yeah.
Well, they're all long. There was a lot of news.
Yeah.
Oh, an hour.
Wow.
A long episode.
Oh, no.
Well, it's a short week.
Oh.
Short week, long episodes.